The Torah makes little mention of Olam Haba, at least overtly. The Torah presents the system of Halacha and Shmiras HaMitzvot as a self-serving enterprise, submission to Ratzon Hashem, as an experience which needs no external ratification. We don't serve the Rabbonu Shel Olam because we see this world of Avodas Hashem as a surrender of Olam Hazeh, just to punch our ticket to Olam Haba. But it's the highest and most redeeming lifestyle we can lead, even without an Olam Haba. So the Torah writes, V'hayam Shema Tishmoel Mitzvasai Asher Anochi Mitzaves Tem Hayom. The response is, not you'll get to Olam Haba, but you'll lead a successful life. Aman Yarichon Yamecha Al Ha'adama. But of course, Chazal articulated Olam Haba, and the terms of achieving an afterlife, the terms of achieving passage into the next world, Kihem Chayenu V'yarech Yameinu. And clearly, that passage, or that transition, is yielded or is facilitated by a lifetime of Shemiras HaMitzvot, of Avodas Hashem, of Talmud Torah, of self-improvement. Yet Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Brachos offers a shortcut. Source number one. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezeu ben Olam Haba. How can a person merit entry into the next world? Zeh HaSomech Gula V'Tfilah Shel Arvus. This particular Gemara speaks of twinning the discussions of Jewish redemption with Tfilas Maariv. A different Gemara speaks of Shacharis. There's some debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding Maariv. Everyone agrees, a consensus exists about Gula Latvila during Shacharis. In a very hyperbolic manner, Rabbi Yochanan allows us to enter Olam Haba simply by juxtaposing descriptions of Jewish redemption of Gulas Mitzrayim with our Shemon Esrei. Baruch Ata Hashem, Goyim Yisrael, suffix by again, there's a consensus about the morning tefillah, there's a machlokes about the evening tefillah. We paskin more or less like Rabbi Yochanan. We're masmich gula tefillah both in the morning and the evening. What could possibly be so compelling about this twinning, juxtaposition of tefillah and geula that could warrant entering into Olam Haba? Now, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes Chazal speak in hyperbole. I can't imagine that a person who leads a aimless and empty lifestyle, devoid of mitzvahs, and laced with violations of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's ratzon, which just happens to be a masmach, a gula tefillah, I can't imagine there's any vicarious entry into Olam Haba. So evidently there's a hyperbole or an exaggeration. But just the same, the dynamic between gula and tefillah is important enough to warrant the hyperbole, to justify the exaggeration. What are the connotations? What are the symbolisms of creating a dynamic between describing Jewish geula and suffixing it with davening? So Rashi in Brachos on Nadal Ramadei cites Yishalmi. Rashi paraphrases Yishalmi, also simplifies it. It's somewhat of a difficult text in Yishalmi proper, so let's read Rashi. V'yaminan v'brachos Yishalmi mi she'ino somech geula l'tfila l'mahu dome. Liyahavo shemelech sheba v'dafak al pischo shel melech yotza melech v'matzo shehiflig afu hiflig. Without juxtaposing geula l'tfila, without setting up the context of geula prior to tefillah, a person is compared to some acquaintance of the king who just brutishly and selfishly lodges his requests and his needs, his solicitations, his demands. Literally, in the Lashon Yishalmi, bangs on the door of the king and imposes all of his demands. Very gross and vulgar posture. Ella, Rashi continues, source number 2, line 2. How should a person daven? What's a more optimal form of tefillah? Yada mikarev l'kadosh baruch hu elav. Person should create an intimate dynamic of affection and of awareness. Umiratzeu b'sishbachos v'kilusin shal yitzias mitzrayim. Should praise the Rabbonu shel Olam through reminiscent of yitzias mitzrayim, of nisim, of supernatural intervention. V'hu miskarev elav. That experience of reliving Jewish redemption, Gulas Yisrael, and divine intervention, spearheading Jewish Gula, creates proximity, intimacy. And in that context, demands become requests, impositions become favors, and egocentrism becomes love and romance. Perennially, each and every Jewish thinker is challenged to defend the egocentrism of tefillah. How does a human being, Basar Vadam, Yulud Isha, stand in front of the Melech Malachi Amlachim and lodge one petty, insignificant request after another. My health, my parnasa, my needs. So to a degree, the public tense of tefillah, the communal grammar, refrainu, not refraini, barech aleinu, not barech alayas Hashem azels, to a degree moderates his egotism. But in the grand sweep of tefillah, in the grand sweep of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's universal drama, my or our needs are important. In each and every strain of Yiddishkeit had various answers. Chassidus offered one answer, Kabbalah offered a different answer. But Rashi, in the Yishalmi, or alternatively Rabbi Yochanan, in his description in the Gemara, is offering a different strategy. Lamasha, when I return home after a long day of work, and I ask a request of my wife, it's not an egocentric request. It's not selfish. It's not petty. It's not arrogant. There's a context to our relationship, a covenantal relationship of trust, a bilateral commitment, sacrifice, spousal assistance, raising a family together. During the day, we may not be in each other's presence, but part of marriage is depending and relying on each other. When I lodge a request of an outsider, that could be impositioned, that could be demanding, that could be crass. In the context of a broader relationship of appreciation, commitment, of trust, of love, that request is the most natural, and not only is it natural, it's even necessary. Tonight I was asked to meet with some of the young men from Har Etzion who have been recently married. They asked me to speak about marriage. As you all know, part of marriage is the ability to depend upon your spouse. Some people don't have that ability. Any marriage in which there isn't codependability is a failed marriage. People have to allow the other individual to serve your needs. It's not just that it's egocentric, but it's selfless and loving, compassionate, and symbiotic. According to Rashi, according to the Yishalmi, Geula establishes a context to purify and sublimate tefillah from an experience which could possibly be egocentric to one which is covenantal, loving, compassionate. The truth is, it's not just Geula, but it's other aspects of our tefillah that serve this very same function. The Gemara, it's actually Gemara, but I'll first quote the Gemara in Brachas, I guess, Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. Darish Revi Simlai, source number 4. Le'olam yisadir adam shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yachar kach yisfalo. Forget tefillah and Geula for a moment. What about the broader panorama of Pesukei Dezimra prior to tefillah? Le'olam yisadir adam shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yachar kach yisfalo minolam yimoshe. Moshe Davin, Chazal tell us, 400 tefillahs, 1500 tefillahs. But each tefillah was preceded by Shebach. V'aschanan al Hashem, Mata Hashem, Mata Achilosel, Haros Es Abdecha, Es Gavmacha, V'yas Yidcha, Chazaka, Shemiyal B'Shamayim V'aretz, Asher Esech, Masecha, V'chizor Eschecha. Having appreciated the majesty, the glory, the cosmological work of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Ebra No V'yeres, Aretz HaTova, and Moshe lodges his request. And that sequence serves as our own anatomy for tefillah. So in effect, it's not merely geula that serves as a pretext or a prelude, as a preamble to tefillah, lending tefillah purity rather than egocentrism, but it's the broader experience of Pesukei Dezimra. As we would say, the hisaros, the moral and divine awakening, carefully delineating the role and function, the presence and appearance of the Rabbonu Shel Olam in the moral realm, Zokev Kifufim, Shomer Amunim, Rofei L'Shvoile, detecting the role of the Rabbonu Shel Olam in the cosmic realm, Halu Kol Tzivav, Halu Malachav, Halu Shemesh Virech, Halu Kol Koch Ve'or, discerning the presence of the Kutcher Brecho in history, Lassar Machem, Ezekiel, Merchvedem, Lachav Le'Varzel, establish that conduit, that interaction, that dynamic. Then our tefillah is natural. Tefillah is desire. Tefillah is covenant. Rish Baruch Hu desires our tefillah. Without that pretext, our tefillahs won't just be flat, as I mentioned earlier. They'd be offensive, to a degree. The Medrash has a slightly different take on Pesukei Dezimra or Shebach associated with tefillah. More of a poetic appreciation. Source number 3, Medrash in Devarim Rabbah, describing Moshe's tefillah in Parshas Vischanan. Yachol yeh tovet zrachah v'yotzila. think a person should just appear in front of the Melech Malchim Lachim, lodge his request, demand, impose, and then walk away. For Apira Shlomo Melech Lishmoa El Harina Biela Tfila. Rina Zuki Luso Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Tfila Litzrachav Shalada. Here the Medrash doesn't really describe a practical or pragmatic sequencing. Yolam Yisadar Adam Shvachav Yachakach Yishal Tzrachav. The Geula, the Shevach, is a pretext to prevent tefillah from deteriorating into some sort of selfish, egocentric experience. Here the Medrash describes a fusion. For tefillah to be poetic, for tefillah to be emotional, for tefillah to be passionate, for tefillah to surpass tefillah and to become rino shel tefillah, the shmol arino v'yela tefillah. The human heart has to awaken itself to the majesty of the Rabbono shel Olam. And that awakening, that passion, a vision infiltrates tzrachim, infiltrates tefillah, and converts tefillah from a technical, dry encounter to one which is suffused with passion and vision, grandeur, and majesty, which has been infused or has been animated by the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is Rashi's version of Snichas Yi'ula L'Tefillah. Rashi based on the Yishan. The Rav Zatzal took a very similar strategy to Rashi, but his strategy for broadening tefillah beyond its naturally egocentric boundaries wasn't theological but historical. According to Rashi, we stretch the horizons of our experience theologically. We consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in nature, in the cosmos, in the universe, in Pesukei Zimra, again, not necessarily related to Geula, but structurally parallel. The Rav felt that Geula redeems tefillah, purifies tefillah of its egocentrism because of the acute awareness of Am Yisrael, its march through history, its national trek and odyssey. The Rav always quoted very famous passages in Kisavo, a successful farmer enters the Beis HaMikdash bearing his bikurim, his first fruits, and you'd expect an outpouring or an explosion of gratitude and thanks, of satisfaction and triumph. And the first words that he utters, Arami Obed Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayerga Shem Semeab, Yetzir Shem Akin Misham, Yed Chazaka, sounds like the Haggadah. All of a sudden, he walks to the base of Mikdash and he conducts Haggadah. The answer the Rav suggested, important one. If my experience is dislocated from Jewish history, my experience is dislocated from my past, if I live in an historical vacuum where my needs are pitched to solely personal and self-serving, then I suffer the egocentrism I described earlier. But an acute awareness to the odyssey of Am Yisrael, to the march through history, to the challenge of Jewish history, to the badge of honor we bear of being selected as a Kodesh Baruch Hu's people and bearing that badge and carrying that burden, inciting seething hostility by those who refuse to recognize or acknowledge that badge or that selectivity. Sensitivity to Jewish history, according to the Rav, not just broadening the theological awareness of Kodesh Baruch Hu, which Geula happens to yield, but the very experience of Geula. According to Rashi and Yishalmi, Geula opens a window to the Rabbanu Shalom. According to the Rav, Geula opens a window to Am Yisrael, to its history, to its past, to its triumph, to its struggle, to its unique redemptive role in the salvation and the perfection of history. According to the Rav, that same stretching and broadening of horizons into the historical realm occurs through this twinning of Geula and Tefillah. It's not merely an opportunity to grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an opportunity to realign and reaffiliate with the sweep of Jewish history and to interpolate our tefillos within that struggle. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos, because we live in Eretz Yisrael today. And if we don't have enough rain, or we aren't able to maintain some sort of strategy to Shemitah, that is a national threat, a strategic threat to our people. Wars today are not won through military means alone or politics. Wars today are won economically. If our economy crumbles, we are facing a strategic threat, which is what lends greater urgency to Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira today, I'm not saying to eat Heter Mechira, that's a separate issue, but installing Heter Mechira today in Eretz Yisrael is Pikuach Nefesh. It's Mamish Pikuach Nefesh. Forget broader valuations of whether secular Jews keep Shemitah or keep Kashrus. If our agriculture collapses, we will suffer an economic crisis that will loom as a strategic threat. Spoke to my children, expecting snow again tomorrow. You know, if they daven for Mashiach with a fraction of the kavana that the kids in Israel daven for snow, I would encourage you all to buy your tickets already. Oh boy, when snow comes in Gush Etzion, it's a Yom HaTovah or Rabbanim. Actually not, everyone else enjoys it. The Rabbanim who live on campus, we don't have a Yom HaTovah, we have to go to Yeshiva. It's a day of joy in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we had a difficult early part of the winter, and now Kodesh Baruch Hu has responded. And more or less, we're inching our way to the finish line, more or less. According to the Rav, Geula Tefillah didn't merely create a window to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or build a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, but a window to Jewish history. But as we say, Atzad HaShava, between Rashi's approach and the Rav's approach, is that Geula prefaces Tefillah and rescues it from egocentrism, from arrogance, from self-serving, self-interest, sublimates it into a broader experience. However, Rashi on Daf Lamed offers a slightly different shot. More in Daf Lamed, source number 5, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Omdim Lehispalel, Lomitoch Atzlus, Lomitoch Atzlus, through sadness and melancholy, or laziness and listlessness, Lomitoch Schalk, Lomitoch Sicha, certainly not through frivolity, sarcasm, Lomitoch Kalas Rosh, Lomitoch Devarim B'Telem, but what is the preface of Tefillah? So the Gemara says, Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The literal reading of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, some sort of mitzvah, spiritual joy. A person does a chesed, sits down to daven, learns a block gemara, sits down to daven, learns the musar. Some sort of mitzvah to twin diverse religious experience and to create some sort of dynamic or some cross-pollination between the mitzvah per se and the daven. Rashi in Brachos has a slightly different read on simcha shel mitzvah, fascinating read. Mitoch simcha shel mitzvah kegon divrei tanchumim shel Torah. A fascinating word, tanchumim. Some consolation, some comfort, some almost cathartic recognition or confidence. What is an example of tanchumim shel Torah? Kegon samach legulas mitzrayim or samach letehila ledavid shu shabach v'tanchumim. What is the tanchumim of Gula Tefillah? Kegon mitzvah yirav yaseh, shomer Hashem iskolo avav, ashrei, kilo itosh Hashem amo, v'kayatzebo. Fascinating Rashi, and often overlooked Rashi. Evidently, if we follow Rashi's implication, the entree to the experience of Tefillah is to a degree an anxiety-ridden experience. Person approaches the specter of davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a tension. There's an anxiety, there's a fear, there's an underconfidence. And mentioning a tanchumin shel mitzvah reinforces the notion that the Rebbe Shalom will answer our tefillos. But it's a notion that has to be reinforced. We're availing to keep the metaphor, to sustain the metaphor. Everyone who davens is an avil. Maybe avil is too harsh a word. But the word nofil is not. Samech Hashem l'chol ha'nofilim. B'zakeif l'chol ha'kufim. I teach a lot of adolescents. And I can tell you that one of the areas in the modern context that suffers most, I imagine for adults also, is tefillah. A very, very difficult time with tefillah. And one of the challenges which modernity has posed to tefillah is that we no longer feel vulnerable or susceptible. We're so confident and capable, so potent and self-sufficient, it's very hard to see ourselves as an ofel. So if we recite Samach Hashem L'chol ha'noflim, Sherem Alos Mimamakim Krasich Hashem, how often do we feel the depths of mamakim or the susceptibility of nefilim? Rashi's reminding us that prior to every tefillah is a period of anxiety, fear, concern. In yeshiva, in Gush, our nusach ha'tefillah is whatever the chazan wants to daven. He wants to daven Ashkenaz, he wants to daven Svarg, noch besser. Evidently, Rav Lichtenstein asked the Rav when he came to Eretz Yisrael what the nusach should be, and that was the Rav's answer. Are you kidding me? In Europe, if you walked into a shul that davened Ashkenaz and you davened Svarg, you know what they would do to you? They would take you out back and beat the stuffing out of you. And certainly vice versa. Well, you see, we're enlightened and westernized and cultivated and cultured, and they were Neanderthal. and undereducated monsters who just couldn't contain their religious zeal. Of course not. They truly believe that tefillah sustained the world. They truly believe that each and every tefillah was absolutely vital to tomorrow's bread and to today's stability. And how dare you alter the cosmic calculus that we are involved, that we are participating in. And for us, our liberalism and our acceptance and our pluralism is probably more indicative of a casual and cavalier attitude to davening, because we just don't feel like we're nofim. It's an astounding Rashi. Person approaches tefillah as David HaMelech. Lulu Yamanti, Liras V'til Hashem, Eretz HaChayim, Mashri Adem B'fachay Tamit, David HaMelech. His voice and his statements in Tehillim are suffused with underconfidence and self-doubt. And self-doubt not in a self-mortifying or self-immolating fashion. Doubt to the scholar, or doubt to the layman, is integrity to the scholar. The scholar always doubts himself. Yaakov Avinu says, Katolti Mikol HaChasadim, not because he doesn't appreciate his station, because he realizes the grand dimension of serving the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the Yifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an important Rashi, not because it provides a gloss onto Gula L'Tvila, but because it reminds us of the need for Gula L'Tvila. Perhaps we have to reestablish or resensitize ourselves to the anxiety which precedes Tvila. God forbid, not an anxiety which causes despair, or instability, emotional instability, but a recognition of the import and the magnitude, the gravitas of davening. And we face that uncertainty with a prior mention of Geula B'Tvila to remind ourselves, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, v'nach l'so lo yazov. Or according to Rashi, in a less historical context, Shomer Hashem iskola avav, v'tzen yirav yaseh, karav Hashem b'chol karav, v'chol Hashem b'chol v'emes. This is the second version, not Rashi and Daf Dalet, but Rashi and Daf Lamed Beis. So this is Rashi's position, this is the Rav's position. Essentially, the preface of Geula services the experience of Tefillah. Somehow, it lends spirit and purity, meaning, historical context, transcendence, integrity, and it eases the anxiety which may typically be felt upon entering the experience of Tefillah. If this is true, that Geula Tefillah is essentially, as we say in classic Brisker style, it's a halacha and Tefillah. Smichas Gula Tefillah is a halacha and Tefillah. It services Tefillah. It enables Tefillah. It precipitates Tefillah. If this is a halacha and Tefillah, then we may very well understand certain halachas which allow the suspension of Gula Tefillah in order to serve Tefillah in some other fashion. There are various questions raised by the Rishonim. Take, for example, Tosfos. Tosfos, source number 7. Excuse me. Source number 7. The Paschal like Rabbi Yochanan, the Bahag, the Balalachas Gedalas, Paschal like Rabbi Yochanan as well, with some Echelulat Tefillah both in the morning and in the evening. The Imkan, he tells us right, source number 7. Yeshli Zarius of the Shalom Saper, being Gulu, the Arvis, the Shmon Ezra. Umiyu, Beseder of Amram, Go and Perish, Mashan, Womri, and Kaddish, being Gulu, the Tefillah's Arvis. Why do we say Kaddish? Maru, we say Kaddish, we barrier, we create a block between the Gula and Tefillah, Kaddish. So listen to Tosfos' answer, fascinating answer. The Seder of Amram Gompirish, Vashem, Omrim Kaddish, Ben Gula, the Tefillah's Arvis, Leshme Idon, the Lobi Inon, Mismech Gula, the Tefillah, the Arvis, the Tefillah, Mishun, the Tefillah's Arvis, Mishus. Tefillah's Arvis, according to the Gemara, is a Rishus. Doesn't really mean it's optional, but it means it wasn't legislated or institutionalized with the same halachic authority or the same halachic obligatory nature as some of the other tefillos, the shachris and mincha. Since tefillos arvis is a rishus, we may suspend or slightly adjust to moderate the twinning of geula l'tefila during the evening. This position of Rav Amram, though, quoted by Tosfos, would seem to echo Rashi's approach to Geula L'Tefillah. After all, the entire experience of Geula L'Tefillah is merely to serve Tefillah. As you'll see later, there's a different approach. But according to Rashi, this twinning, this juxtaposition is necessary to service, to elevate, and to enrich Tefillah. if the tefillah is less obligatory, less central, less normative, however that stage or caliber is defined in the halachic system, perhaps the apparatus is less necessary. If we were to believe that geula the tefillah constitutes a different experience, as we'll soon see, in this position of Rav Amram Gaon would be less attractive. Rav Amram Gaon sees tefillah arvus as a lesser tefillah, and he also assumes that geula the tefillah is an apparatus to enrich tefillah. Those two statements taken together can yield the conclusion that geula the tefillah at night is less of a demand. Shulchan Aruch has a very interesting psak, source number 9, when he describes Ma'ariv. Ein l'saper ben geula l'tefillah d'arvus. You shouldn't speak at night between Bagal Yisrael, Shomer Moshe Elohad, and Chutz La'aretz, the final two passages. You shouldn't speak. U'miu ma'shemachriv shliach tzibor Rosh Chodesh yalav v'yavo ben kadesh l'tefillah d'arvus lo v'hefzek kivin shitzarech tefillah. What about interruptions between geula and tefillah that are necessary for tefillah? What about announcing Yalla V'yavo, V'sein Talo Matar, Ala Nisin, right before Shmoneh Esrei to remind people? After all, these announcements, these interruptions, will improve tefillah, will enhance tefillah, will assure that everyone's tefillah is compatible with the unique event. So there are ma'paskins, and here there's an interesting distinction between Ma'ariv and Shachris, and I won't describe that distinction today, but at least vis-a-vis Ma'ariv, announcements of this nature are appropriate. The minhag in Am Yisrael sometimes is to bang, but really, al pi halacha, you're allowed to announce at Ma'ariv, Yalla v'yavo, v'sein talo mata, ala nisim, whatever is necessary. Shachar is not, Ma'ariv, yes. This ruling of the Ramah as well may indicate that the Ramah agrees with Rashi. After all, the juxtaposition, the continuity, the sequencing is necessary to enhance tefillah. This particular night, Rosh Chodesh, this particular night, the first night of Chanukah, this particular night, December 4th, or Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, there are other aspects of tefillah which require attention. And that attention and response may disrupt the geula l'tefillah twinning. That's an appropriate disruption, because after all, geula l'tefillah is an additive, an enhancement of tefillah. Tonight, on this particular night, the enhancement of tefillah must be realized specifically by interrupting geula and tefillah. The very famous Tosfos, which I didn't quote, but I'll just mention it, Baal Peh, tells us questions in Brachos Daf Dalet in Chutz La'aretz. You add Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen Yiru Aneinu V'Yismach Libeinu V'Segel Nashenu B'Shuascha V'Emes of the Lord Pesukim of Tehillim Divrei Yamim in between Shomer Mo Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei. So Tosfos gives a few answers, none of which seem very compelling. One answer is that it's a Geula Richta, even though the Pesukim don't really describe Geula, they describe broader issues and topics. Different terrors in Tosfos, and even stranger terrors, since these prakim have 18 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's like a Shemot Esrei Katan. Very, very difficult Tosfos. I once suggested, I think it's a possibility, what was the reason which, that these paragraphs were added to Shemot to Ma'ariv? Why did Chazal add these two paragraphs? Does anyone know? For latecomers. To assure that latecomers won't walk home alone, or said otherwise, to assure that people would come to Minyan. Not just to protect the latecomers when they come late, it's to encourage them to come even if they're late. Because their shuls used to be located in distant backwater fields and villages, and there was a danger of walking home from shul. People would come late, so I've heard. I haven't seen anyone. But so I've heard people would come late to Dalvin. So to assure that everyone would leave shul together, so Chazal instituted catch up. You know, you guys go off and say some Dibur HaYomim and give the latecomers a chance to daven. So essentially, it's the same strategy as the Ramah. You're shattering the continuity. You're disrupting geula v'tefillah, but for the sake of davening. I want people to come to Minyan. I want the tefillah v'tzibur to be enhanced. I want there to be as many people at Minyan. So in order to solve the problem in the manner that Tosfos does, because it's like a geula, it's like a tefillah, the Ramah already provides precedent, already provides a model or a template to temporarily suspend Geula L'Tfila for the sake of Tfila. Or if not to suspend it, at least to delay it, to create a slower process of Geula L'Tfila. So these halachic positions may seem consistent with Rashi's approach. It could very well be that this question, can we suspend Geula L'Tfila for the sake of Tfila? For the sake of Tfila, because Geula L'Tfila services Tfila, is already latent in the Machlokes Tanaim. Maybe a good brisker likes to read back ideas and svaros, not just in the Rishonim and Achronim, but back into the Tanaim. It's the assumption of brisker lumbus. The same Machlokesim which took place in Rishonim and Achronim really were debated by the Tanaim and the Amoraim. Layers, or overlapping layers of Talmudic discussion. So the Gemara in Brachos, that Lamed and Aleph says as follows. The Tanya, Hishkin Latzeis L'Derech. The person gets up early. If he davens early, his Shmona Esrei will be focused, will be able to stand with attention and calm and serenity. But it's not yet Zman Kriya Shema, since it's not Zman Kriya Shema, so he may not be able to juxtapose Geula L'Tfila. So what should he do? Should he daven early and sacrifice Geula L'Tfila? Should he wait till Zman Kriya Shema when he'll be on the road and achieve Geula L'Tfila at the cost of Tfila, at the cost of a less focused or less concentrated Shmona Esrei? Gets up early to travel on a train, on a boat. So according to the Tanakhama, he davens early. Reads Kriyashma later. Surrendering or forfeiting Geula L'Tfila. Geula L'Tfila is impregnable. It must be maintained, even at the cost of a focused davening. So evidently, this machlokes tanoim is reflective of our debate. One can certainly see the common logic between Rashi and between the Tanakhama. If indeed Geula, as a preface to Tfila, enhances, enriches, and upgrades Tfila, in this unique circumstance where a person's Tfila will be in some ways compromised or flawed by juxtaposing Geula L'Tfila, so that twinning or that sequencing can be suspended. Presumably, Rav Shimon ben Elazar felt differently. Presumably, Rav Shimon ben Elazar felt that Geula L'Tfila has some meaning beyond just servicing Tfila. And therefore, as a dynamic, it shouldn't be so easily forfeited, even if Tfila is somewhat compromised. Yes? Could be. As I said earlier, in the parameters of the Shira don't allow a more careful distinction between Shachris and Ma'ariv, but clearly there is a Machlokes Rishon Rabbi Yochanan, Shita Ravamun Gon, Psak of the Ramah. But assuming homogeny between Shachris and Ma'ariv, or assuming at least structural homogeny, that would seem to be the question.
Maybe just which particular contribution to the Tfila? Is the benefit of Smichas Geula Tfila?
But that question would only be legitimate if Geula services Tfila.
Right, I'm saying that would say the bell could be correct. That question just which is the
correct. Answer. Absolutely. Correct. That would be a different way. The Machlokas would pivot not around the structure of Geula Tfila, but around the relative contributions of this juxtaposition vis-a-vis focused concentration, standing at attention. What is the other approach to Geula L'Tfila, this mysterious alternative that I've been alluding to for the past 20 minutes? How else to do this halacha? Seemingly Rashi has it, whether it's the Rashi in Brachos Daf Dalet, the Rashi in Brachos Daf Lamed, whether Geula sublimates Tfila and strips it of its egocentrism, or Geula soothes and eases the anxiety which precedes davening, Tanchum Mishal Mitzvah, either way, it services davening in some way, shape, or form. It creates a proper attitudinal mentality or state of mind which yields a legitimate tefillah. So the alternative to Rashi is suggested by the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, to employ classic brisker language, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Geula L'Tfila is not a halacha in tefillah. Geula L'Tfila is a halacha in Geula. Having described the passages of Jewish redemption, having relived Yitzias Mitzrayim, Amavir Banav Yisrael Yamsuf, Esor Feinis Lenayim Samos Tiba, Es bechare marakta v'chorchi sogolta v'yamsif pakata v'zeidin tibata v'didim hevarta shira chadasha shimchu giruim. Geula can be a very captivating experience. It could be a very hypnotizing experience. It could also be a very dangerous experience. What are the consequences and lessons? What are the connotations? What does it mean to be redeemed, and how do I assure that that redemption enhances and intensifies my avodas Hashem rather than chas v'shalom replacing it or ruining it? According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, suffixing tefillah to geula preserves the integrity of geula, reinforces certain notions of geula, lessens us, instructs us about the manner to digest and to distill geula. Geula doesn't serve as tefillah. Tefillah protects geula. What are those lessons? So let's see the Rabbeinu Yonah, source number 17. Source number 17, line 2. V'yamar mori harav shatam shezochen l'schar gogol kazeh mivnei shakarish baruch hu kishegalanu v'yotziyanu mimitzrayim hayal yotenu lanu l'avagim shenemar kevada heim ashkal tzeisi yosam eretz mitzrayim. V'yat tefila, line number 4, hi avoda ki yaminim avantem z'ashem lokechem zuhi tefila. Geula liberates the human spirit, emancipates us from tyranny, relieves the constraints of despots. But does it just emancipate and extricate? Or does it also enable us to commit our energies and our resources to the Melech Malchei Melechim? Geula can be a very giddy and intoxicating experience. Foreign, human tyrants have been removed. We celebrate, we luxuriate, we're jubilant, and our newfound freedom. But what's to prevent that freedom from deteriorating into self-absorbed indulgence and addiction, free-willing, aimless lifestyles, defiant and unconcerned with divine duty and summons? After reliving the experience of Geula, to assure that Geula is a constructive liberation rather than a desultory one, we perform Avodas Hashem in the classic sense, Ezohi Avodas Shebelev HaBeyom Rizu Tefillah. We reaffirm our worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this danger, the freedom of redemption, is twofold. On a practical plane, as I mentioned earlier, man enjoys freedom, enjoys liberty, enjoys the lack of restraint. And the notion of being mekabel malchus shamayim, of all Torah and mitzvot, of submitting to any will, let alone the divine and infinite will, Torah and mitzvot, can be a very formidable one, a very challenging one. Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotzer ruach mi'avodah kasha. All of a sudden they refused to listen to Moshe. Why were they so accepting in Parshas Shmos and so disbelieving in Parshas Va'era? Simple reading is once burned, twice cautious. They believed Moshe initially. They saw how he was scorned and ridiculed, and they were less gullible and less believing the second time around. Yitzhak Sizna, the Yitzhak in Parshas Va'era, claims that in Shemos Moshe spoke of freedom, of liberation, emancipation, independence. Everyone joined that party. But in Va'era, Moshe began to speak about Torah, mitzvahs, tavdu nosia laharazeh. What is the ultimate agenda of removing that already? You know, a little bit more wavering, a little less enthusiastic. You want us to actually perform mitzvot and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, religion, humanism, and freedom, that's one thing. But religious observance and adherence, it's a whole different kettle of fish. So at a practical level, liberty and freedom can intoxicate the human spirit and divert him from religious observance. But it's more than just practically. The experience of Geula is a exhilarating, empowering, redeeming opportunity to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shir Shirim, Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Asvarim Kadosh, Shir Shirim Kadosh Kadosh. It's Kadosh Kadosh because in the landscape of history, and in particular in the landscape of redemptive history, we fuse and sense a passion, almost a parity with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We chase him, he chases us. Beautiful passages of joining with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, his partners, his lovers, his man and wife. No man feels Avas Hashem more poignantly than in the midst of the redemptive process. Those golden moments when we're unstoppable. A juggernaut, paving our way through deserts and mountains, through seas and peoples. Those golden moments of 3-4 months that Shir HaShirim tries to capture, to encapsulate. Baruch Hashem, Shechiyanu, Vekimanu, Vehiyanu, Lazmanas, after 2,000 years of darkness. Fester upon him, expulsions and pogroms and inquisitions and holocausts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has once again reminded us of the taste of Geula. The taste. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to see Nisim in the flows. We know what it's like to stand in front of our rabbis. We, a little taste. Ashreinu matav chalkeinu. I can't say we deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. You're not always chosen because you deserve it. You're chosen for all sorts of divine calculations. There's a great danger. Will our Avas Hashem become so exaggerated, so powerful, so exhilarating, that our Yiras Hashem starts to fade? We feel so comfortable with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, our partner in history, our Shir HaShirim lover, who we can count on, who's helped us defeat scores of Arab nations, who help us survive in a preposterous world of seemingly incalculable odds. And what of our Yiras Shamayim? What of the recognition that as much as we know, we don't know, and as close as we feel, there's a distance, and as much as Hashem has begun redemption, we can't know? And the Zohar says, source number 10. I have to apologize. I rarely quote a Zohar because I'm not a Makubo. But I couldn't find sources in Nigla that would satisfy this position. Although they're nascent and latent, but they're not as blatant as this. Kasev echad omer ivdiros Hashem b'simcha. Kasev echad omer ivdiros Hashem b'yiro. Ma bin hain b'hai. Elakan b'zmano ashi Yisrael sharem b'yara kadisha. Ivdiros Hashem b'simcha. Kan b'zmano di Yisrael sharem b'yara achra. Ivdiros Hashem b'yiro. Baruch Hashem, I live in Eretz Yisrael. I feel as if every day is another parak in Shir HaShirim, literally. Another nace, another mountain. Shir HaShirim is a gloss on the landscape of Eretz Yisrael. And zach to feel Abbas Hashem. Previous generations, as hard as they tried, and as much Torah as they learned, and as much as they knew, they couldn't sense it as uniquely through the prism of Shir HaShirim, because Jewish history was dormant. And Baruch Hashem, Jewish history is reawakened. But oh, how we suffer in our community in Eretz Yisrael from this overdose of Avas Hashem. I'm terrified in my own community. And let me give you one such example. 2 summers ago, we were forcibly removed from Asa. I'm not describing my own political position on that. That's not the topic of today's shiur. There's great opposition, protest, disappointment, demonstrations. There are certain voices in our camp, or when I say our camp, I mean the Dati Lumi camp, the national religious camp, which guaranteed our youth and our adults, it's not going to happen. Hashem won't let it happen. The phrase, many of you may remember, Hayah lo tihyeh, can't happen. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that statement. You can guarantee Hashem's Ratzon. You know what will and won't happen. You appointed yourself as Yodea Das Elio. And I've been even a harder time imagining it 67 years after the Holocaust. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu can allow a Holocaust to occur, beyond human belief, beyond human imagination, then he can allow. I can't understand, I don't know why, I suffered through it. But how dare you? How dare you feel so comfortable and familiar, so confident in your partnership with a Kodesh Baruch Hu that you can play God? In the Haredi camp, so to speak, where there was less opposition, but still voiced opposition, I found it fascinating. Every opposition paper, every statement, every placard began as follows. Afar nachu tachas vaglav, yilude isha, mi yodea das elyon, filo yehani adam v'chai. Afar v'ayin ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim v'yichal kelucha. Nistar me'en kol. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do. We can't predict, we can't understand, but please, he should send the Yeshua, and please. Now, I understand why in that camp the ideological equilibrium was lame, because I don't think they suffer the infection of Ahavas Hashem as deeply as we do. They don't see themselves in the same degree as partners with the Rabboni Shalom in rebuilding our land, reconstituting Jewish history, rehabilitating the Jewish spirit. So I understand. I'm not defending, I'm not opposing, I'm just describing and assessing. I don't think they face that peril. But we face it. And Gula is responsible for it. A very popular song in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure it's popular here, I detest it. I know the song begins, it's not very musical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. That's all religion is. Ahavas Hashem, and Ahavas Hashem, and Ahavas Hashem, Ohavim Otcha, your kid brother, your best friend, your father. Where's the Yirat Shamayim? Breslov today is very popular in the Dati Lumi community. For the very same reason. It's all Ahavas Hashem. It's all love, and love, and parity, and equality, and God. And I cringe. We've built such a long-standing, stable tradition, carefully balancing our Ahavas Hashem and our Yirat Shamayim. This dual balance has allowed us to survive the indescribable gullus. And all of a sudden, we finally walk into Eretz Yisrael, and Shir HaShirim begins, and we just toss our Yirat Shamayim. I say Yirat Shamayim, I don't mean our Shmiras HaMitzvot, how long our tzitzis is that too, but our sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, of Chacham HaRazin, of the inability to grasp, the infathomability, the inscrutability. That to me is the greater danger of Gula. Not the danger of I'm free and therefore I'll toss or I'll discard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon and all mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, most of us feel that summoned life, that commitment to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the inner equilibrium, it's the emotional poise, it's the balance between Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And that's why, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, after reliving the golden moments of Shir HaSayam, Shira Chadasha, Shibchu Ge'ulam, L'Shimcha Agadol, we have to speak a new Shira. We can't suffice with the old Shira. We can't just play on the conventions of the past. If we're redeemed, we have to reconstitute our Avodas Hashem. I can't worship the Rabbeinu Shalom the same way the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Rambam did. I have to add, I have to expand. They can't replace and discard. And that's the danger of Geula, that tefillah is stemming or checking. After we finish Geula, to assure that it remains within tolerable limits of responsible religious behavior, tefillah has moments of Ahavas Hashem, but it's predicated on Yirat Shamayim. It's predicated on a dependent and a provider. There's a hierarchical structure built into tefillah. There's a hierarchical structure that checks the violation of that hierarchy that Ahava commits and is meant to commit. Don't get me wrong, Ahava is meant to tear the hierarchy asunder. It's meant to create Shir HaShirim. It's meant to create empowerment, partnership, nobility, and familiarity. But not excessively to the point that Yirat Shamayim dissolves. That's the first lesson of Geula, that tefillah crystallizes. But this is a second lesson. Then he only continues source number 17. The Yon Amar Mari, 5 or 6 lines from the bottom, Tamacher. Mipnei Shekashem Maskir Gulas Mitzrayim Mispalel Miyadu Marish Aboteach Bashem Mitzvila Kivan Shemavakesh Mimen Mitzrachav Shemi Sheino Boteach Bo Lo Yavakesh Mimen Uklum. One of the lessons of Geula, one of the lessons is to reinforce Ayamina. The lesson of Geula, Chazal tells us that Am Yisrael stood at the Yam Suf, quaking and shivering, trembling at the onslaught, advancing onslaught of the Egyptian army, cornered on all sides, Yenasi, Bechagve, Hasela, Besesa, Madriga, who are trapped like a little dove amongst the nooks and crannies of the rock, surrounded by the serpents and the sea, the Egyptians and the harsh desert elements. Vayitzaku el Hashem, they daven, who did they daven to? They didn't have Torah. They didn't have mitzvahs in a normative sense. How did they know Hashem? They daven to Elokeinu, Elokei Avosinu, Elokei Avraham. That's the God they knew. Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how should I present you to them? It's not yet Har Sinai. It's not, I can't tell them Ekzelos. I can't teach them Ebchayim. I can't give them the Tazos. Hashem said, Eyeh. They remember their fathers. They remember Avram. They remember Yitzchak. They remember Yaakov. They remember the Nisim. They know the stories. Eyeh She'eyeh. There will come a time when they'll be able to appreciate and build that relationship with me into a more sophisticated, cognitive, emotional relationship across normative, legislated, halacha, and revelation and history. But right now, Elokeinu, Elokei Avosinu. The first recorded tefillah in the history of Am Yisrael, the first tefillah, is facilitated and enabled by emunah. Without that emunah, tefillah is an empty and pointless experience. Shir Hashirim writes, source number 12, Iti Milvanam Kala, Iti Milvanam Tavoi, Tashuri Mirosh Amanam, Mirosh Shir Vachamon, Mimanon Tarayav, Maharei Nimirim. Chazal speak of a mountain called Amana, Mount Amana. Very suspicious mountain called Emuna. Chazal speak of a mountain called Amana, where everyone will come, returning from exile, you'll land on Mount Amana, and you'll start to say Shira, Shira Chadash Hashir Chugim, and Tashuri Mirosh Amana. Evidently, we're not going to be zocha to the quick and rapid, to the painless and accelerated version of Geula, Tanane Shmaya. We'll probably have to endure Ani V'Rachiv Alachamor. Probably have to endure long and arduous and complex and painful Geula. We're not zocha to the Chipazon of Mitzrayim. Participate in the conclusion of Jewish history. What a schus, what an honor to be chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam to rehabilitate it, to redeem history. We need emunah. That emunah has to come from past moments of Geula to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great miracle of human history, that one nation can have such trust and such emunah after enduring so much suffering. Chazal say that Vayasid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will be shocked. Ki Yipale Ve'ini Sheris Al-Mazah, the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Gamena Yipale, I'll also be shocked. How could a people be so resolved and so determined and so faithful after so much death and murder and suffering? Look how many Jews have had their faith beaten out of them by Jewish history. Baruch Hashem, we've survived to the finish line. Bechakisi Lashem, the Pasuk in Yishaya, Bechakisi Lashem, Hamaskir Panam Beis Yaakov Kivisila. Gemara Yishalmi says in Sanhedrin, I wait for Hashem, I wait for him. Hamaskir Panam Beis Yaakov, who constantly hides. 70 years ago, we lived through Hamaskir Panam Beis Yaakov, and look, 70 years later, what we've been able to accomplish, the flourishing of Torah, the rehabilitation of Avodas Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, Bechikisil Hashem Hamaskir Panam. Ein L'chasha Akasha, Yishalmi says, from that moment on, the Kivisila. I wait with confidence and fortitude, with trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My trust comes from the Geula of my past. We repeat that Geula, we live that Geula. We see that Geula with our own eyes playing itself out in our own generation. and to reinforce the vital geula necessary, vital emuna necessary as an ingredient to weather the storm clouds of geula, we succeed our geula experience with tefillah. I trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I trust you in the field of geula, I trust you in the field of my own requests, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Tefillah reinforces the necessary lessons of geula, rather than geula prefacing tefillah and supplementing it. This is a machlokas between Rashi and the Ben Yonah. Obviously, there are halachic consequences to this machlokas, but in the field of Avodas Hashem, of course, we can literally recite Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We can live Rashi's sequence of geula with tefillah. We can assure that our tefillos are historically sensitive, are not egotistical. We approach tefillah with a certain, even programmed anxiety, even if you don't feel it innately, at least to recognize cognitively that tefillah is not a casual, relaxed, assured experience, but it is one filled with gravitas, connotations, and consequences. And alternatively, every day when we recite the passages after Kriya Shema, Kenyo v'Kavu Seinu, remember our Avos, remember Geula, we live Geula, to remind ourselves not to become distracted by the energy of Geula, to become distracted, but to maintain the poise within that distraction, to make sure that our Arva and Yira coexist in equal measure. And ultimately, as you can probably imagine, as we hurtle closer and closer to Achris HaYamim, as we feel Mashiach more deeply, as we're able to establish our presence in Eretz HaKodesh, to recognize it may not be easy. It may not be easy on many fronts. Obviously, the primary one is military, but on many fronts, it's difficult, it's frustrating. And I think Geula breeds impatience. And Emunah is the antithesis of impatience. Emunah is patience. Machar. Yesh Machar Shul Achris HaYamim. We're people of patience. Let's not lose our patience and our vision simply because the geula we expect it to be immediate, it's taking a time and a trajectory that's testing our patience and our emunah. But I think we're up to it.